Romans chapter 1, verses 1 through 17. Chapter 1, Introducing the Gospel. Romans is, at its heart, a letter about the gospel. It is written by a man whose life and work revolved around the gospel, showing the difference brought and worked by the gospel. Unsurprisingly, the beginning of the letter is all about the gospel. Separate for the gospel. As with all ancient letters, the writer begins by introducing himself. He is Paul, and first and foremost, he is a Christian, a servant of Christ Jesus. Verse 1. Servant here is literally slave, doulos. Paul, like every Christian, has a master. He is a man under authority. Second, Paul has been called to be an apostle. Verse 1. He is an apostolos, a sent one. This is not a job Paul selected himself for or even applied for. He was called into it. He was commissioned and taught directly by the risen Jesus himself. See Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 19. He has direct authority from Christ to teach. What he writes is scripture. What follows is true. But why did the Lord call Paul to be his apostle? So that he would be set apart for the gospel of God. Romans chapter 1, verse 1. The word translated, set apart, means separated, to be moved away and apart from everything else. Paul was set apart to spread the gospel, to pursue this one overriding aim. This is what Paul will slave for all his life. But it is also, as we will see, verses 9, 11, and 15, what he will rejoice in through all his life. To Paul, this gospel is so great that he is willing to separate himself from anything, wealth, health, acclaim, friends, safety, and so on, in order to be faithful to his calling. The gospel. Who, not what. What is this gospel for which Paul is willing to glory in being a slave? What gospel would make Paul happy to lose everything in order to share it? First, it is worth reflecting on the word itself. Gospel, euangeloi, is literally good herald. In the first century, if on a far-flung battlefield an emperor won a great victory, which secured his peace and established his authority, he would send heralds, angeloi, to declare his victory, peace, and authority. Put most simply, the gospel is an announcement, a declaration. The gospel is not advice to be followed. It is news, good, you news, about what has been done. The Apostle Paul is the herald of this announcement. It is a good reminder that the gospel is not Paul's. It did not originate with him, and he did not claim the authority to craft it. Rather, it is of God. Verse 1. We, like Paul, are not at liberty to reshape it to sound more appealing in our day, nor to domesticate it to be more comfortable for our lives. Neither is the gospel new. Rather, God promised it beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. Verse 2. The Old Testament is all about it. All the Scriptures point forward to this announcement. They are the scaffold on which Paul stands as God's herald. Every page that God wrote before outlines what he has now declared in full color. The gospel's content is his Son. Verse 3. The gospel centers on Jesus. It is about a person, not a concept. It is about him, not us. We never grasp the gospel until we understand that it is not fundamentally a message about our lives, dreams, or hopes. The gospel speaks about and transforms all of those things, but only because it isn't about us. It is a declaration about God's Son, the man Jesus. This Son was fully human, as to his human nature, verse 3. The one who fulfilled the promises of Scripture. He was a descendant of David, verse 3, the king of Israel a millennium before. God had promised David that from his family God would provide the ultimate, final, universal king, the Christ. See 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 11b through 16. And David's own life, his rule, suffering, and glory, in many ways foreshadowed that of his greater descendant. See Psalms 2. 22 and 110. Divine. The Son was declared with power to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead. Romans chapter 1, verse 4. Paul is not saying that Jesus